This is Mae Brussel. This is the second half of World Watchers, in case you just picked it up in the middle and didn't get the first half hour. It's a one-hour broadcast titled World Watchers. It's broadcast number 703, June the 3rd, 1985. There are two very important and large countries that had the murders of the heads of state this year. They're important strategically and also for what was happening politically with these countries. One was India, that huge land mass, oceans on both sides, largest non-aligned country in the world, of the nine non-aligned countries, a democracy, a country that represented opinions from both countries, that dealt with the Soviet Union. I call them, there's two countries that exist, the Soviet Union and the United States, the confrontational policies for all purposes involved these two major conflicts. And these non-aligned countries have to choose sides, which is awfully hard when the bully next door is clobbering you on the head. This country, the democracy of India, represented by Mrs. Gandhi, referred to the United States shortly before her murder as being a country that only puts in military dictatorships. She was horrified when Maurice Bishop was killed, and she has noted the other events that we've done in many of the countries around the world, particularly when Mr. Bhutto was killed in Pakistan and Zia put in by Henry Kissinger and the CIA and the Defense Department. And she was vocal about this, calling attention to that fact. The other large land mass, the huge mass, if you study the globe, and most of us don't study it often enough, just look at the size of Brazil and their borders, and they manufacture the most weapons in South America. They probably have the most Nazis in South America. It was a large place for harboring Nazis before, during, and after the war. There's a concentration of them in Chile and in Argentina and Paraguay, but Brazil was notorious for these connections. They had elections for the first time in 21 years. They overthrew the military dictatorship that the United States government and the Knights of Malta, specifically Vernon Walters, were very instrumental in putting into effect. And on the eve of the inauguration of the president-elect, he went into the hospital. He got sick, and he was there for 7 surgeries and died. April 22nd, 1985, this past April, broadcast number 698, I pointed out 9 different things that I thought were important regarding Brazil and the conflicts there. I won't repeat them, but if you haven't heard part 1 of Brazil, I suggest you get that tape and listen to it, because Brazil is a very important country. I ran out of time with the article from the Washington Post on Mario Bernardo Garnero, and I will continue with that. I hope I have time this evening on the Brazilian bank regime that collapsed. Again, linked to William Simon, the Knight of Malta, to George Shultz, to Henry Kissinger, and to the people in this country that very effectively can get rid of head of states to continue specific policies they want. And one of them, of course, is bringing in narcotics traffic, such as escalating it in Southeast Asia and in Pakistan and South America with Klaus Barbie in Bolivia. And now Brazil was becoming a cocaine dealer and distributor and a grower just at the time of the elections when the government changed hands. Now, just to update some of the stories on Brazil, the San Jose Mercury had a story April 23rd, a quotation from a woman, Shirley Williams. She was formerly a member of the parliament in London, and she said that she received a letter from a friend who's well-connected in diplomatic circles in Brazil, saying it was believed that Nev, that's N-E-V-E-S, was murdered. We're talking about the president-elect. I'll spell it for you, because I'm not sure that well, the pronunciation is right. T-A-N-C-R-E-D-O, Tancredo Neve, N-E-V-E-S, the S is silent. She received word that they believed down there in the diplomatic circles that he was murdered. The San Francisco Chronicle had a story April 23rd, again repeating her statement about the fact that they thought he was murdered and that the Brazilians expressed doubts about this and that they wanted a full inquiry, and the British Broadcasting Corporation was saying that there was widespread belief in Brazil that Tancredo Neve had not died of natural causes. a lot of this was covered up by all of the news media with the Bitburg matter with the president going to the graves of the Waffen SS. But this was a wire service story, and it was out here in the San Francisco Chronicle. I mentioned last week how the Catholic friar Leonardo Boff was silenced, and I located the article from the San Francisco Chronicle and put into its chronological order. This is a very liberal member of the Catholic Church who was sent to Italy and reprimanded by the Pope. As I say, his active Knights of Malta have been instigating the collapse of banks and financial involvement down in Brazil. But the election, after it was over, the inauguration was supposed to be in March the 15th. And right after the death of the president, just a few days later, this 16 days after the president-elect died, the big black letter of the headlines in San Francisco Chronicle, May 9th, said, Brazilian friar ordered by Vatican to shut up. That 16 days after the president-elect was murdered, this very radical spokesman against fascism was told to shut up. Now, I reproduced a speech that he gave that somebody had sent to me with a tape last week, and he mentioned Ronald Reagan and Augusto Pinochet, the head of Chile, as being a source of a lot of problems. Now, Ronald Reagan is close to all the enclave of the people all of his political life who effected the first coup in 1964, and he worked with the Rockefeller Commission in covering up the second investigation of political assassinations of the CIA, and Henry Kissinger, part of these operations always, was the one who worked with Richard Nixon and ITT and John McCone, a Knight of Malta, and the CIA in having Salvador Allende murdered. So that when you talk about Pinochet and you talk about Reagan as being the source of the problems, you're talking about assassinations and murders in order to keep these people in power, working with Nazi death squads, but right out of our government in Washington, D.C., and working with George Bush and his, as director of the CIA, as part of these operations. So I'm sure that Mr. Boff might have spoken up. It was only 16 days after the death of the president-elect when he was told by Pope John Paul II, don't open your mouth for 1 year. And I was just shocked that the term just shut up. That's quite clear in the newspaper, in case you wonder what it means. The interviews with various doctors down in Brazil, in San Paulo, Brazil, were interesting. There was one reprinted in the San Francisco Examiner. They were asked why the U.S. specialist didn't come in earlier when the president-elect was sick, because he had some stomach trouble. At first it was appendicitis. Then it was just massive infections from the surgery, evidently in his stomach, that caused seven operations. And they were very painful operations. I mentioned that once they opened him up towards the fifth or sixth and just laid a sheet of plastic over him, and didn't even close the wounds. I mean, he was just left to die. They couldn't close the wounds, and they kept using the same area to cut him open. Incidentally, the San Francisco article has a quotation of the president-elect, just the last thing he said before he died. He was with his favorite grandson, and the quotation was, I did not deserve this. Those were said to have been the last words of 75-year-old Nev before he lapsed into a final coma last week. I didn't deserve this. I don't say he deserved the pain, and it was literal torture, but I ask the question again, could he become the president-elect of Brazil if he had ever questioned the murder of John Kennedy? The coup that happened here in 1963 was followed a few months later, around February of 84, in Brazil, or Jim Jones living in his hometown in Belo Horizonte and the CIA when Jonestown broke and the borders of Guyana touched along that northern border of Brazil that's now being used for narcotics traffic. Where are these people? Can they be elected, or should they even be elected? Once they get in, they're killed anyway, such as John Kennedy, or the candidate for 1968, Robert Kennedy. Even if you don't work your way to the top, is it better to speak up along the way, or say, when I'm president, I'll do this, and then you never become president? Do you deserve that if you keep silent all those years? I kind of take a hard line. Yes, you do. I rather have a lot of people speaking up and fewer people running for office and having an alignment with connections that require them to be silent about things they know. Getting back to this medical report, they asked why the United States specialists weren't called in, and the answer was, that's an interesting question. They wouldn't elaborate, but they didn't continue giving him the best medical care from the moment he got the stomach infection after dinner with the Archbishop in Belo Horizonte. Now, a lot of you don't like Lyndon LaRouche's politics. I don't. You don't like the things that he says. They're very confusing. But he has one thing going for him, which I absolutely appreciate, maybe for different reasons than he does it, but it's called the Kissinger Watch. And in Executive Intelligence Review, the subscription was given to me by a friend who, this was a very nice gift, and I want to say thank you many times when I read it, because I don't know if he wants me to mention his name on the air. Well, I can. It's Charles Spears in Texas, who sends out so many letters and political bombs of his own that I could put this on. He gave me a 2-year subscription to Executive Intelligence Review put out by Lyndon LaRouche. And every week they have a page called Kissinger Watch. And this is the story that he had about Henry Kissinger just at the time that the president-elect was dying in Brazil. On Monday morning, April the 15th, callers from different parts of the world were trying to reach Henry Kissinger on business. It was impossible to reach him. Dr. Kissinger himself was on business at the White House. At 10 a.m., he showed up at the President Reagan's office in the company of former National Security Advisor Zbigniew Brzezinski. Now, Brzezinski was behind of covering up, if not long planned before they were in power, but covering up and working with the Jonestown operation. And also with him was former U.S. Defense Secretary James Schlesinger and former U.S. Ambassador to the U.N. Gene Kirkpatrick. Those are the two appointed to decide about our nuclear arsenal that I just cited before, Schlesinger and Kirkpatrick, with Brzezinski and Henry Kissinger, April the 15th. That is at the exact time when Mr. Neb was clinically diagnosed as never going to survive. And all of these people have worked in Central and South America. And I cited earlier in March the luncheon that Henry Kissinger was having in the White House with the president and the suspicions of their role in Brazil, because Brazil is very important to the World Banks and to the narcotics traffic and the particular pressures that are in South America now that Bolivia has changed hands, and also the pressure in Paraguay to get Joseph Mengele and democracy in Uruguay. They were developing these people, the narcotics traffic in Brazil. And when the president-elect was dying, the new vice president was a man who was 20 years with the military dictatorship and switched the last year to become vice president under a man who's going to be offed just at the time that he's to be sworn in. It reminds me of LBJ, who didn't want to be vice president and reluctant, and they coaxed him to it. And, of course, the rest is history, because the arrangements had been made already to get rid of John Kennedy, so he got the presidency by coming in the back door. London Times, April 21st, this is 1 week after the luncheon in the White House, had a story titled Democracy in Question as Neb's Fades. He's ready to go, and the story says Brazil is preparing itself for the worst this weekend as the president-elect Tancredo Neb is kept alive by a battery of machines. After 7 operations, the man who would succeed him would be José Sarney, S-A-R-N-E-Y, the vice president. But he was thrown into Neb's government as a makeshift at the insistence of those who, like himself, had left the pro-military government party, the PDS, to join the opposition, and he was chosen by Neb to be the architect of Brazil's transition from military to civilian. If Neb dies, the London Times says, he will try to keep this coalition together. Now, the problem he faces, this is on the front page of the Sunday London Times, April 21st, 230% inflation they were left with, and a $100 billion foreign debt. You know, you watch where the money goes, and you know exactly what's going to happen. A $100 billion debt and a surgery on your stomach 7 times, and you're through. And so they're going to expect a man who switched to that party just a few months before, which is interesting, and was sworn in as president, to be able to handle his military friends and keep this story, this country together. The United States and the Knights of Malta from the Vatican, the intelligence community, have a system, a formula, a recipe to put in over and over again the same techniques, the same people, to affect what they want, to get what they want. And some of these countries, such as I cite Argentina with the trials there, have tried now to change all of this. And this is what we have to think about doing, because the cooks in the kitchen are in Washington, in the Pentagon. And instead of closing some of the offices off, they want to duplicate and recreate themselves a second time and have a second Pentagon, because they say they don't have enough space. Now, one of the Kissinger Watch articles that I particularly like from Executive Intelligence Review was April 23rd, 1985. And the title is Simon, that's William Simon, the Knight of Malta, Board of Helionetics, with Edward Teller, Star Wars. You know the connections. I mention Simon almost every week. He's working with the Contras, with Heine Adlerholt, with John Singlow. This story is called Simon, Safra, and Drugs. And it goes on to say that there is a financial relationship, an international relationship in drug traffic that has increased in magnitude in Brazil in the last couple of years. And this was cited by a man in Italy who's on trial. I'll quote his article in a few moments from the Washington Post. It goes, among the most influential banking figures on the Brazilian scene are all the good friends of Dr. Henry Kissinger. For example, there's William Simon, former Secretary of the Treasury, multi-millionaire director of the Kissinger Associates. Henry Simon is on the board of Kissinger Associates, the roving hit squad that Congressman Gonzalez referred to as the hired gun that the State Department has rented to them. William Simon funding, as I say, the Contras, making the policies with J. Peter Grace and Claire Luz and Alexander Haig, all Vatican envoy to keep the Contras going and to get rid of the Sandinistas. He's on the board of directors of Kissinger Associates. The article says Simon is a fanatical advocate of a free trade policy such as the British East India Company had, if you know what they're referring to there, and the British control of the Southeast Asian area. Well, they're still controlling it in a way, affecting and being a part of the murder of Mrs. Gandhi to keep the confrontations of divide and conquer and try to get her to India, her son, to the Western side. It goes on, Mr. Kissinger's name has surfaced again as a close buddy of Brazil's Garnero, that's the fellow that was under investigation, is, and who was about to be arrested when the president-elect went into the hospital. He's the director of the dope-linked Brazil Invest, BRASILINVEST, that I mentioned just briefly in April, this corporation that is under investigation in Brazil. There is another man, Edmund Safra. And this is a new name I haven't had on the programs, S-A-F-R-A, Edmund Safra, who is head of the Safra Bank in Brazil. It's one of the top 10 banks in the country of Brazil. Safra is the international director of American Express. Henry Kissinger is on the board of American Express. Gerald Ford is on the board, among other people. He's also the international director of the Republic National Bank and of Geneva's Trade Development Bank, all which are interlaced with big international narcotics interests. Several of Safra's banking mergers, for example, have been arranged by Kenneth Bialkin, B-I-A-L-K-I-N. Now, Bialkin is the Jewish representative, the only Jew to be represented in the White House for Ronald Reagan. He went to Israel, conveniently, when Reagan made the decision to go to Bitburg. But Bialkin was the man who said it's okay to go to Bitburg, the Jews will forget, it's fine, you can visit the Waffen-SS, you can invite the Waffen-SS to the ceremony, which he did. Bialkin is the senior partner of the law firm of Wilkie, Farr, and Gallagher, and he's the lawyer for Robert Vesco. Now, Robert Vesco put the money into the runway at Grenada. The excuse to invade the island was that Maurice Bishop was going to let these huge Russian transport planes land there to take over the whole Caribbean and the United States eventually. And it turned out that the excuse was created by Robert Vesco. And Frank Turple was at Grenada shortly before the coup there when Maurice Bishop was murdered. And of course, Alexander Haig and Mr. Califano and the same people working with Brzezinski at the time of Jonestown were involved with the takeover of Grenada. And Robert Vesco is, I don't believe he's out of the service. I think they have him roving around the Caribbean for these particular things, just like they have Frank Turple roving around for these coups and effecting these coups. Now, Mr. Bielke not only makes the mergers for Mr. Safra, but he is head of B'nai B'rith, the Anti-Defamation League. He is the head. And remember and keep in mind, I mentioned that he put Mr. Kissinger on the board of Amex. Now, several weeks ago, I said that when Fritz Kramer, Kissinger's mentor, I believe it's that when, we don't have proof yet except the age, the looks, and the position, went to Zurich with a check. He was accompanied by a man from the Anti-Defamation League, and I'll do more about that man again in the next few weeks. I have some interesting articles that somebody from the Anti-Defamation League went with Fritz Kramer, and they were taking checks from Willie Carto, an organizer of Nazism in America, Canada, and overseas, and head of Liberty Lobby, and went with the courier over to the account of Joseph Mengele. So that Henry Kissinger is close to the head of the B'nai B'rith, and so it was that his mentor who was accompanying Mr. Buell, the man from Associated Press, to take money to Europe. So Mr. Safra has one of the largest banks, 10th largest bank in Brazil, and works closely with Henry Kissinger and with Mr. Garnero, and the money situation where Brazil is not only under tremendous debts, but the banks have been collapsing, and a lot of money was put into Garnero's account to help bail him out. A very important man was arrested just last year. His name is Tommaso Busetti. I have mentioned him before, but haven't done enough about him. He was a mafia boss who, in return for his giving information about drug traffic around the world, is getting some kind of leniency. And in storing the Washington Post, this was just November 22nd, anniversary of Kennedy's death, 1984, Mr. Busetti, Tommaso Busetti, was revealing the drug connections that he has, the worldwide drug connections that come out of San Paulo, Brazil. And he's telling about the Amazon jungles, and he lived in Brazil. Busetti was extradited from Brazil. That's where he lived, in July. Now, I don't know what date the elections were when Mr. Neves was elected for president, but in July, Busetti was taken from Brazil. He was heavy into heroin traffic in Italy. He's facing indictments in New York, but in Brazil, October 83, he talked clearly about the shift to the cocaine trade. See, in 1983, Klaus Barbie was arrested and was in France, and the cocaine traffic was shifting from Bolivia and Paraguay, where Mengele is, to Brazil. So in October 83, when he was arrested, Brazil, he said, was heavy into the cocaine traffic. He lived in San Paulo, Brazil. He broke parole in Italy in 1980. He'd been arrested. He returned to Brazil. He built a network in Brazil based at Itat. This name is I-T-A-T-I-A-I-A, Itatia. We'll give it, just spell it for you, and you've got it. And he brought cocaine base into Brazil from Peru. Now, Stefano Della Calle fled to Peru when Klaus Barbie was arrested. He's in Peru, and the cocaine base was going and is going with the effected coup. It probably is continuing into Brazil from Peru and Bolivia with a fleet of light planes. So they transferred the operation, from Bolivia and Peru into Brazil, starting in 1982-1983. This Busetti was arrested laundering drug money, and he was found with having a company making sport shirts, and it actually was for cocaine. In the last 2 years, according to the Washington Post, Brazil has been acquiring importance as a corridor from the Andean producing countries, as political disturbances in Central America were heating up and a crackdown against the traffickers in Colombia was going on, they escalated into Brazil. Now, whenever you hear drug traffic articles, most of them in the United States, it's the Colombia is sending it to Fidel Castro. But you don't hear how they're tying up the Colombia cocaine so that Peru, Bolivia, Paraguay, and Brazil can develop into the largest cocaine dealers and send it out from there to the United States and into Central America and over to Europe. The Washington Post says, in geographical terms, Brazil is right between the producer and the consumer. They have 10,000 miles of frontiers. And again, the Guyana borders on one of those frontiers. Brazil is joining the ranks of cocaine producers. And they recently found 10 million plants, showing the intent of them to become big producers. In the operation, police found signs of Peru's guerrillas were using Brazil for refuge. According to Pavoa, Peru's foreign minister, Mr. Roca, claimed that the Sendero links with traffickers during various debates on the drug problems came up at the Organization of American States, and they said the network of clandestine airstrips in the vast area is unpoliced in the Amazon, and the drug is carried by mules. Mules are women who are forced to carry this through the corridors of the Amazon, where it ends up in Europe, where they're hard-pressed because the Colombian producers are being stopped from growing and distributing. So that Brazil, at the time of the elections, and with wiping out the president-elect, was becoming a major drug country, which is very important, also because of the banking problems and the links of these people, the Nazis and the United States intelligence, to the drug traffic. Now, as typical of the United States, this article from the Washington Post says the Drug Enforcement Agency has been very lenient. They don't think it's important, these methods of traffic. And just about 2 months ago, it came out that the Drug Enforcement Agency knew that Joseph Mengele was in drug traffic with Klaus Barbie and that he was drug dealing down there, and they didn't think that was important. So the DEA had a budget last year of $250,000 to follow the drug traffic in Brazil. Imagine after Mengele and Barbie, Mengele's on the run and Barbie's locked up, and all this is going on in Brazil, the DEA looks the other way. Well, they look the other way all of the times with Klaus Barbie and Joseph Mengele, and it is the drug traffic that allows the agencies and individuals to have the money to buy weapons to effect coups and military dictatorships in the future and to stockpile the weapons for when they want them. The Washington Post said that there's a treaty between Brazil that gives Paraguay duty-free access to Santos. The officials found chemicals of European origin are shipped to non-existent firms in Paraguay. That's Mr. Mengele's home base. And from there to Bolivia. Now you can see why Mr. Stroessner, the president of Paraguay, is flying up to Germany. A lot of the chemicals, this article says, come from Germany. He's flying up there to have a little discussion now. And this is a huge amount of money people are dependent upon. And I wouldn't be surprised that the drug traffic and the banking ties that are being put together are closing in on these people, and they have to have alternate strategies or else their particular governments collapse. The Washington Post says that, as I say, it went to Paraguay and from there to Bolivia. Since 1981, Brazil has controlled the production and the sale of ether and acetone, and the police have detailed maps showing the supply routes of the chemicals from Canada and West Germany through to the Andean nations. So not only does the Executive Intelligence Review often reveal the dope traffic and the banks, and they seem to be very accurate on that. They are really against the drug traffic to a large extent, not defending them on many things, but I have to give credit for the attention of the banks and Henry Kissinger, and then this ties into connections that are important in overthrowing countries, because drugs and Nazis and dictatorships go hand in hand. I did refer several weeks ago to the article, again, in Executive Intelligence Review, Brazil asked Uruguay about dirty practices. This was as soon as the elections took place, and the vice president, of course, then became the president, but Mr. Neves was still in the hospital under his fourth or fifth surgery, when about ready to die. Actually, when this article came out, the Brazilian government has asked their neighboring Uruguay to answer questions about its role in the asset stripping of the major Brazilian bank, Banco Sul Brasil, it's Sul, S-U-L, Brazil, B-R-A-S-I-L-E-I-R-O, Banco Sul Brasileiro. It was put into receivership by the government in January of 1985. It has gone bankrupt. It left a $300 million hole in Brazil. Brazil's acting president, José Sarney, seems to have made a deal with the Congress that the government would make one more expensive bailout of this particular bank, and the directors were jailed and tried on criminal charges. If he's cut a deal to only go into one bank, then the country's in trouble. They suggest that some kind of a deal was made, and I haven't read a thing about Mr. Garnero and his company since Neves passed away, and I want to do a lot more on that next week. I don't want to lose that up. This article said the trail leads to Uruguay, that $300 million, where they recently placed many loans to fraudulent shells. Uruguay has become known as the Switzerland of South America, not just because of the stability of the social democratic system. During World War II, titled families among Hitler's supporters in Central and South America chose Uruguay to safekeep their gold hoards, and it is apparent that the Nazis would lose the war, and they wanted the money in Uruguay. After the war, the flow from Eastern Europe increased, and Licio Gelli, the Grand Master of the illegal Freemasonic propaganda Two Lodge, carried the fortunes of Italian fascists to Uruguay. In 1982, Gelli was found to have filled an entire Montevideo building with his offices. And, of course, Reverend Moon practically controls the banking of Uruguay. I have to leave off there now. I want to do more in Brazil next week and update a lot of other articles. But the time is out. This is the end of this hour. It's Mae Brussel from Pacific Grove, California, and I'll be back with you next week.